Well, we are wrapping up today this series that we've been walking through the last several weeks. It's called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And we have been talking about neighbors because Jesus talks a lot about neighbors in the Bible. And here's why. I don't think Jesus talks about neighbors all the time because Jesus necessarily wanted us to think of our neighbors or make our neighbors that we live by our best friends. I think Jesus talks about neighbors because Jesus knew that God created us in such a way that our lives are just simply better when we're connected to people. And so we're going to wrap that up today, and I want to start to get us into it to tell a little story. A few years ago, my in-laws were living in the state of Washington. They now live here. They're here today. They now live here in Alexandria, but when they lived in Washington, it was the fall of the year. We flew out there for a little vacation, and we got out there, and they suggested that we all go for a hike one day. And if you know the Northwest, it's a beautiful area. We said, of course, let's pack everybody up in the SUV and head out to go on this hike. And the hike they had in mind was at a place called the Kennedy Creek Salmon Trail. And here's what they had heard about the Kennedy Creek Salmon Trail. It was the premier salmon viewing trail in all of the state of Washington. Some 80,000 salmon make their way up this creek in the fall of the year. And so from the trails that kind of circumnavigate the creek and the bridges they've built over the creek, you can actually see the salmon in that creek. Big, huge, king salmon, steelhead, coho. And so we were like, of course we want to do this. Let's go. And so we loaded up the SUV and we went to the Kennedy Creek Salmon Trail. And here, everybody go, aw. These are my two boys. This is Lars and this is Joran, when they were cute little boys. Huh? And this is them at the trailhead of the salmon trail. And so we got there and our boys ran ahead because, of course, they were excited. They wanted to see the fish. And we were feeling really proud as parents because we weren't taking them to some kitschy amusement park. We weren't shoving a screen in front of them. We were taking them for a hike, and this was going to be educational. We'd teach them about the different breeds of salmon. This was going to be an A day for us parents, and our Katie's parents were proud because they had orchestrated all this. And our kids ran up ahead, and as we caught up to them, we noticed that they were looking down into the creek with sort of bewildered looks on their faces. Sort of almost worried looks on their faces. And here's why. Coming from the state of Minnesota, we did not know a lot about the life cycle of a salmon. And if you know anything about a salmon, you might know that salmon, every year in the Northwest, they come out of the Puget Sound and they find these creeks to swim up. And these creeks can be really shallow, just a few inches deep. And they work as hard as they can, expending all their energy, jumping over logs, over rocks, to get up away from predators so that they can lay their eggs. What we did not know about this is once they lay their eggs, they die. They die. Did you know this? I did not. Yeah, you're all going, yep, we knew this, Pastor. Right? We did not know this. And so as we walked up to the creek, our kids were looking down into a river filled with this. Hundreds, thousands of dead giant salmon everywhere. I think it was my father-in-law who leaned over and said, I think we got here too late. I mean, we thought we were going to teach them all about all the different species of salmon. Instead, we had to teach them about the vicious reproductive cycle of salmon. Well, here's why I tell this. Here's why I tell this salmon story. Here's what I know about you, because it's true about me as well. All of us, at some time in our life, we feel as though we are swimming upstream, swimming against the current of life, And it's exhausting, and it even feels sometimes like we're dying. You see, we all know what it's like to swim upstream all alone. All alone in our lives. And when we swim alone, sometimes it feels like we're dying inside. For example, some of you know what it's like to go through marital stress, even a divorce. And you work as hard as you can to try and save that marriage. But inside, it just feels like you're dying. Or maybe you've gone through a divorce and you have to figure out, how do I get along with this ex? Because we've got children in this marriage. And as hard as you try, sometimes it feels like you're dying. Or maybe you've lost a loved one, a son, a daughter, a parent. Maybe you've lost your spouse. And you try and keep that face like you've got it all together, but inside, there's a part of you that is sort of dying. You see, I think we all experience that from one time or another in our lives. Moms, if you've ever spent time on maternity leave, you may have all the friends in the world, but I'm told that when you are home, you feel as though you have this creature that is always demanding you change their pants, demanding you feed them, demanding that they stay awake when they should be sleeping. And it feels sometimes like you're swimming upstream. Or maybe you're in the senior years of your life, and you're sick and tired of people telling you you got to eat the right foods, you got to get exercise. And as hard as you try and do all the right things, it feels as though sometimes your body just doesn't keep up with your mind. There are college students in our community, in our church, who have graduated. They move back home and they live in their parents' basement. And here's what I know. Sometimes those recent college graduates get a bad rap because people think, oh, they're just so lazy. What are they doing? The fact of the matter is, those recent college graduates, there's no one more than them who want to get out of their parents' basement. Huh? And they're working as hard as they can to find that next, to find their first job or that internship or get into graduate school, whatever it is. And then they look on social media and see all their friends have all the perfect jobs in the coolest of places. And they wonder, why me? See, it feels as though they're swimming upstream. Or we have plenty of members in this church family who are single and living in a community that is so family oriented. I've got to believe that sometimes that is really hard. And as hard as you try and put on the face, sometimes it feels as though you're swimming upstream. You see, I think every one of us at one time or another in our life, we know what it's like to feel as though we are all alone, swimming upstream. And here's what happens when we do life alone. When we try and swim against the current all by ourselves, there's something that happens in our brains that tells us that somehow we are lacking, that we are not enough, that we don't have enough, that we aren't good enough, we're not good enough parents, we're not good enough co-workers, we're not a good enough spouse, that we are lacking, not wealthy enough. In every one of our lives. For example, some of you know what it's like to retire. And I know this because I've heard many stories from men, especially who retire, that when you move into retirement and you've been a leader in your profession, sometimes it feels kind of lonely because no longer do you have this office to go to where they need you. No longer when you call the office do they need you as much as they used to. No longer are all those emails flooding your inbox. And you start to question yourself. You might ask, well, what good am I now? We live in a world filled with social media. And here's the thing, I know, because you know this is true, when you sit down all alone and you scroll social media, by the time you're done scrolling through social media all by yourself, you feel as though you're lacking because you see everybody else's highlight reel. You see, social media isn't the problem. The problem is that we sit all alone and we scroll through people's lives, the lives of people we know, all alone, rather than sitting next to them and sharing life with them. Because when we sit next to these actual people and we share life with them, you know what you find out? Their life isn't as great as it is on Facebook. Huh? You see, there's this correlation, actually a proven correlation between the amount of extreme social media use and depression and suicide. And here's why. It's not because social media and technology is bad or it's wrong. It's that we spend all our time all alone looking at people's lives rather than sitting next to them and sharing life with them. You see, when we're alone, for whatever reason, we remind ourselves or we tell ourselves that we are lacking. And I think part of the reason that is that the current of life is always moving us in the wrong direction. It's always dragging us downstream where we tell ourselves that we're not enough, that we're not wealthy enough, pretty enough, successful enough. We're not enough. I mean, think about the sort of commercials we watch on TV. The other day I was reminded when I saw this commercial. Guys go, right? I saw this commercial, and though I have an SUV that is just fine, that gets me where I want to go, I can pull my boat with it, when I see this, I'm reminded of what I don't have, huh? And then, to make matters worse, let's go to the next one. This fancy new pickup has this really cool tailgate. I know guys who bought a GMC pickup in 2019 that didn't have this that now want to upgrade because they got to have this cool tailgate. You see, the current of life is always dragging us downstream where we're told that we're lacking, that we don't have enough, that we aren't enough. Why do I start with all this? I'm sorry to depress you, but here's the fact of the matter. This is why every one of us needs a circle. We need a circle of people that remind us that we are never alone and that we are more than enough. And the best example of this is found in the Bible. Jesus had his circle of guys that he hung out with. There were 12 of them. He called them his disciples. They were, in a sense, his connect group. And here's what you have to know about those disciples. We often, as church people, we think that the guys Jesus hung out with, they were all Bible scholars, they were all pastors, they were all rabbis who had it all together and knew it all. The fact of the matter is, the guys Jesus chose to be in his connect group, they were nothing of the sort. You see, a whole bunch of them were crusty fishermen. I imagine they were kind of foul-mouthed. They found themselves in bars more than in church. These were the kind of guys that connected with Jesus. They were everyday, ordinary people like you and me. And there's this story where Jesus is with his disciples. They go out into the wilderness, and whether you grew up in church or not, you probably heard the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people. And the story says that sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people, they followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside, and he sat down with his disciples. When Jesus looked up, he saw this great crowd of people coming toward him. And that's when he said to one of his disciples, one of the guys in his connect group, Philip, he said to him, help me here, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now, I love this because the way the disciples are going to respond is similar to the way you and I respond when we think of life all alone. They're going to say, we don't have enough, Jesus. We don't have enough money. We don't have a store that's close enough. They don't even have a Domino's out here that'll deliver. Folks, we are not enough. We don't have enough. We cannot. This is going to be a disaster of a day, Jesus. They say things like this. Philip answered him and said, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but How far will they go among so many? And I love how Jesus responds to this. Watch this. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in the place, and they all sat down. Jesus then took the loaves, he gave thanks, and he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the barley loaves, the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And I think when many of us hear this story, and we think and we wonder about what Jesus did, I think most of us think that Jesus did some kind of magic. In fact, there was a little boy, I was teaching this story to our preschoolers here at the church this week, and I finished telling the story, and I said to the kids, how do you think Jesus fed all these people? And one little boy raised his hand. He said, I know. I said, okay, share with me. He said, Jesus did Jesus magic. I think that's how most of us have learned this story. But I wonder if this story, rather than having to do with Jesus doing magic, if Jesus was using this story to tell us why it's so important that we all have circles, if he was using this experience to teach his circle about the life of faith. You see, I wonder, as he did with that little boy, if he said to everyone, hey, I know there's food here. In fact, he looked at that little boy and invited that little boy to open his knapsack, his bag. And he surely, being out in the wilderness, would have packed some provisions for the day. You never went out in the wilderness for the day without packing some food, because you never knew what was going to happen in the wilderness. And that little boy opened his bag, and there he had 5 loaves of bread, and he had a couple of fish. And I wonder if Jesus inviting that boy, he also invited the others to open the bag that they brought out into the wilderness, open their purses and their knapsacks. And they pulled out bread and maybe some dried meat and maybe some dried fruit. And everybody pulled it out and they shared with one another. And they realized that going alone, there would never be enough. But together, there was more than enough. You see, I wonder if what Jesus was doing was reminding his circle that together we have more than enough. And that when we go it alone, we always will feel as though there's not enough. You see, folks, here at Calvary, we want everyone to know you are not alone and you have more than enough. And to be quite frank, we call these groups here at Calvary Connect Groups. And for as long as I'm here, we are going to invite you to be a part of a Connect Group. Because here's what we know. When we go life alone, we will always feel as though we haven't enough. And we all need a group. A Connect Group is simply a group of 8 to 12 people that you make a commitment to share life together with and to share faith together with. Connect groups aren't just for people who are learned in the Bible or who have gone through Sunday school. These connect groups are for all of us. In your pew, as Angie mentioned, there's a card. I want you to pull that card out. Trust me, just touching the card doesn't sign you up. Just pull out a card. Huh? There are a couple of ways that you can get more information about this. Fill out that card today, or you can text Calvary Alec to 77977, follow the directions. People often, when I'm around town, will come up to me and say, hey, I visited your church this week. And inside, I kind of say, you know what, you didn't visit our church, actually. What you visited was one of our worship services. What I want to say on the inside is if you really want to visit our church, come on Sunday morning between services and go down in the church basement where our dig kids gather together with adult leaders in connect groups. And those connect group leaders in those small groups teach those kids about the stories of Jesus. If you really want to see our church, come on Wednesday nights. When our middle schoolers come around and they gather in connect groups with adult leaders, and together they wonder about the life of faith and what it means to be a middle schooler and follow Jesus. If you want to really see what our church is all about, go on the houseboat trip with our high schoolers and sit with them in their connect groups as they talk about the real challenges of being a student in this world today. If you really want to see our church in action, go to a circle where women have been gathering together for years and years and sharing the joys and sorrows of life together. If you really want to see what our church is about, join a connect group, because that's where we care about one another. That's where we keep one another accountable. It's in a connect group where you can say, hey, I was in church on Sunday and I heard Hunt say this and I think he's nuts. It's in a connect group where you can wonder about the life of faith and share the joys and sorrows together. Has anyone seen the new Star Wars movie? Anybody? Okay, just a couple of you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ruin the movie for the rest of you, because I'm going to give away what happens at the end, okay? Spoiler alert. The end of the movie, the new Star Wars movie, it looks like, this is the last movie in the series, and it looks like the bad guys are going to win. The bad guys, the Emperor has built an army that is bigger than any Star Wars movie has ever shown before. I mean, he outnumbers the good guy ships by thousands, thousands and thousands. And it looks like the entire Star Wars series is going to end with the good guys losing the day. And of course, as Hollywood does, all of a sudden you look out in the sky and you see all the good guys all of a sudden coming, one by one by one, until the sky is filled with the ships of the good guys. And there's a line in the movie where one of the generals of the bad guys turns to one of his lieutenants, and he says this. He says, "I never knew they had an army." And that's when the lieutenant looks back at him and says, "They don't have an army. That's not an army. That's their people." You see, you and me, we need our people. Who in your life can ask you, how are you doing? And when you say, like all good Midwesterners, I'm, they call you out on it. They won't take "I'm fine" for an answer. And who in your life can look you in the eye when you're feeling as though you are down and out and you are not enough? They can say to you, you know what, you are enough. And this is what I see in you. You see, every last one of us, we need a circle. We need a circle of people who love us and love God. You see, here's what this series is all about. If you get nothing else, I hope you get this. God created us in such a way that life is just simply better when we are. Amen.